Welcome to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast with the Church Safety Guys. Brought to you by TwoWayRadioCenter.com, a Motorola value-added reseller. The Church Safety Guys is a nonprofit organization dedicated to equipping the vigilant, those men and women who stand watch, keeping our houses of worship and places of faith safe. We believe church safety and security must be a ministry first, and have engaged servant leaders who continually strive for excellence and teams of motivated volunteers that are always training. Join us for the next hour as the Church Safety Guys unpack safety, security, leadership, and ministry operations with your hosts, Dr. James McGarvey and Mike Scully. This broadcast is also available on YouTube, your favorite podcast platforms, ChurchSafetyGuys.com, and on the original Church Security app. Download it today. Feel free to like, subscribe, and share with your ministry.
Well, hello, welcome to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast with the Church Safety Guys. I am James, and once again, joining you on this broadcast. And if you are listening online through our podcast platforms or on YouTube, please take a moment, feel free to like and subscribe, click that like button, and certainly share it with your teams. This is actually going to be the first of a series that we're doing entitled Other Resources. And so you'll notice that my co-host Mike isn't with us, but that's okay, because we're gonna start taking turns and going back and forth on who hosts many episodes like this. So what I want to do is actually kind of highlight for you a little bit of some other, when we say other resources, we're not just talking about Church Safety Guys resources, but things that we've come across, whether it's a podcast or a book or equipment or just different things that may help you with your ministry and might encourage you as you serve. And so recently I came across a podcast and was really interested in it and thought it was a great podcast. And so I'm going to bring those folks in just a minute and introduce them to you and kind of chat with them. But for starters, just to let you know, again, if you're listening to this at a later time, feel free to reach out to us through our website, which is churchsafetyguys.com. And if you would like to, see some of the resources that we have, those are all available on the website. And if we can help you out in any way and help your church or your ministry, please feel free to reach out to us. We would love to do that. One thing I will highlight real quick is a brand new book that actually just released today. And when we're recording this, so if you see this at a later time, it'll definitely be available, but I'll bring it up here. The picture of it, it is Thriving Together, Five Secrets to Ministry Team Success. And it's five things every leader should know to guide a successful team. And that's actually available on Amazon. And that's going to be available right now in ebook for your Kindle or also paperback for $9.99. And I think we're going to try and keep that price point probably until Christmas. It would make a great resource to purchase for your team, for your folks, if you're a pastor listening. Something that we recently put together, and we had quite a few different pastors around the country actually review it and offer feedback and content. And so it's not specifically for church safety and security, although it certainly can help. If you're leading a safety team, it would certainly benefit you to take a look at that. But ultimately, it's just a book on leadership practices and principles. And that's from my experience through the years of leading ministry teams and occupationally actually leading teams, etc. So definitely you want to check that out. And again, that's available on Amazon for $9.99. And if you need to, or if you would be interested in bulk ordering that, please feel free to reach out to us through our website, because we're happy to give you a discount as much as possible on that for quantity orders. So what I will do, I will actually go ahead and bring in my guests on this broadcast, and they're actually from the Sacred Cows podcast. So I will bring them in and take that out. So they can actually be heard on, well, I listen to them on Apple, but they're on all the podcast platforms. And Joe and Jordan, welcome. So thanks for hanging out with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having us. It's a pleasure. You are our first guest appearance on another podcast, so we're really looking forward to it. I feel like we've made it, right, Joe?
Oh, yeah. This is it. It's all uphill from here.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully this will drive some interest for you guys and encourage you, because I think you do a fantastic job with the podcast, with the content, and how we actually started with doing our podcast and broadcast was we had a lot of banter back and forth, and I ended up meeting this guy that he and I just had a really good rapport, and we could kind of play off one another like you guys do, and it just made for interesting conversation. But for those of you that are looking for a great podcast that talks about spiritual content and throws out some challenging stuff, you definitely want to check it out. And I will put that plug in there. And for those of you that are like, okay, I'm not really sure why you would bring in a random podcast. It's not really random, because Joe is actually my brother. I'll close that real quick. But my younger, more handsome brother. But I'll throw that out there. There's a giant butt. No, I'm just messing with him. So he's working on this. He serves at a church up in New Hampshire, and so a lot of times I'll reach out to him and bounce stuff off him as well, and send him manuscripts and beg and plead him to review them for me and give me his perspective. But ultimately he decided to jump in with Jordan into doing a podcast, and they do it quite well. So I wanted to bring them on and say, hey, you should listen to this podcast, because it's very thought provoking. And I like that. It's, to me, you know, you can get people, and there's certainly a lot of individuals out there in Christian circles that throw their ideas out there, whether they're scripturally based or not. And part of the reason that I appreciate how you guys do it is because oftentimes you'll try and give both sides an equal time to understand some of the perspective with it, versus just coming right out and saying, this is evil, don't do this. And certainly, considering some of the background, some of my background with churches, particularly that shall remain nameless, because I don't want to offend anyone listening to this podcast at a later time. Not Winchester, if you're this, because I love you, Jeremy. You know that. But seriously, we do have churches that are more conservative and tend to be very fundamentalism or oriented toward fundamentalism. And so oftentimes, this can be kind of an interesting, some of the topics you bring up can be an interesting, segue to understanding how, maybe sometimes we are a little bit too legalistic on some of our thought processes and hold tight to some of those ideas, maybe tighter than we should. I don't know. You guys nailed me on one of them, and I'm not going to say which one. No, But anyhow, so for our listener's sake, again, the podcast, you should check it out. It's called Sacred Cows. Why? Let's back up though. Let's go back to how in the world did you guys meet? How did you actually get to the point of saying, hey, let's do a podcast? And why did you pick the name for it? So go right ahead.
It's kind of funny. We don't fully remember exactly how we became friends. So, and it's funny because it was not that long ago. So we don't have the advantage of saying like, oh, we've been friends forever. We met when I was a freshman in college. I'm not sure how old Joe was at the time, like 22, somewhere around there.
Yeah, 22, 23.
Somewhere. I had come back from school. So I went to school in Virginia. I'd come back up to New England for the summer. And I had reconnected with one of the friends from my childhood who was like, hey, you know, you need a place to stay over the summer while you're back from school. There's this ministry house in Winchester. And I think you should talk with the pastor because we're going to have an opening. And I was like, oh man, that sounds awesome. So I was going to Bible college at the time. So I was like, oh, ministry house. That sounds like really cool. So I ended up moving in, and it turns out the opening from the person who was leaving over the summer was actually Joe. Our stay at the house didn't really coincide. But I'd like to think that I became friends with Joe by sleeping in his bed while he was gone. And we just like, connected that way. Joe worked at a camp over that summer and he was still around. We still got a lot of opportunities to hang out and like talk. And we have super, super similar interests. So I think right from the beginning, we were kind of like debating and arguing with each other a little bit. And like our personalities meshed really well and we really got along, but we were like, man, we can't agree on anything when it comes to the Bible. So that's kind of how we met. I don't know if Joe wants to add any insight into that.
Yeah, I think because after the summer, I came back to the house and I think I stayed in a different room because you were still in the room that I normally had. But I think the overlap between how long we actually lived together in that house must have been like 2 weeks or something like that. Like it wasn't super long. And I think we just connected probably more quickly than I've connected with any of my other friends. Like we were just on the same page with like, you know, our interests and what we wanted to, you know, get out of life and all these things. And I don't know, it happened really quickly and it was a super, super blurry period of my life anyway. So it's like, I don't exactly remember all the conversations that we had, but I just remember coming out of it being like, oh, Jordan's gone. But like, we just got super close really quickly. So I don't know.
Nice. I think sometimes those are the best friendships. I have probably two or three off the top of my head that I can think of where if I go back and try and remember when I met them or the specific moment they were introduced, I can't figure it out. And so, one of them is the pastor of our church. I remember him, and actually we're part of a team that's planting a church in Central Ohio, but, my family is when I say we're, but my family is part of it. But the pastor that actually went to plant that church is actually the brother of the lead pastor of the church that we attended for probably, 15, 16 years. Wow. And so he decided that God was calling him to plant a church. And, you know, we prayed about it as a family and just said, you know what? Really, I really liked the idea of all of us working on it together because I knew from being in college and planting other churches, how challenging that could be, but it also is very rewarding in that, you know, it pulls people together and makes them closer and that sort of thing. And so for us, I felt like at that time, with the church that we had been attending, it was a great church, great staff, great ministry in the community, but it just, to me, it felt like, you know, we were always, whenever we went as a family, whenever we went to church, we were taking two or three vehicles, and we literally live like 8 minutes down the road, but we would go at different times, do different things, be involved differently. And it just, one day I pulled into the parking lot and I was like, you know what? I just literally, I pulled up and I parked and I just sighed and I'm like, I never see my family because I get here before everybody else does. And so we can't serve together and we've gone here and we might pass each other in the hall. And so I really felt like we just started praying about it and as a family and just said, you know what, what would it look like for us to leave and to go help with this church plant? And what was interesting was I think one of the few times that I've called all of our family together and said, okay, family meeting, everybody's in the same room. We're going to talk about this. What was interesting was every individual actually had prayed about it before I brought it up and had said, you know, that felt like God was really putting on their heart to do it. And so when I brought it up, it was just kind of like the catalyst to say, okay, you know what, maybe this is what we're supposed to do. But anyhow, but yeah, the pastor of the church plant is, that's kind of how he is for me. I don't remember meeting him. I remember him and his family moving up to Columbus and starting, you know, coming to the church, like the first Sunday that they came to the church. But I just remember from there on out, you know, doing stuff with them, and at any activity, I would jump in and help him. And so now it's just kind of, to me, it kind of feels like natural that if he's planning a church or doing something else, that I should probably help him. I tell him often that it's keeping him out of trouble, but I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not. Sometimes it might be keeping me out of trouble. For sure. but no, that's cool. Whenever you have a friend like that, it's kind of cool. So
yeah, it was really bizarre. Like I remember meeting most people in my life, but I don't remember actually saying like greeting Jordan for the first time. It's like, you're how probably did that like work?
Hey, you, get out of my bed.
Yeah, why are you here?
Yeah, not to get sappy, but it does feel like I've known Joe like my entire life most of the time. Sure. And I really like, I have to think long and hard sometimes about how long I've really known him. And it's funny because at the end of that summer, right before I went back to school, we decided to get tattoos together, which...
Nice.
Looking back is so funny, because we ended up getting tattoos, and I was like, I barely know this guy. I've known Joe for like 3 weeks, and I just went and got a tattoo with him. And yeah, but I feel like it was really one of those, to quote C.S. Lewis, it was one of those moments where you're like, oh, you too, like you feel the same way about all these things. So we just really hit it off immediately and had a really deep connection.
Yeah. I can say it cause he's not on, but my co-host now, Mike, he lives down in Texas and he's originally from Massachusetts. So oftentimes we'll talk and, you know, we have a lot in common. Like his family used to go, up to Maine and do different things and that sort of thing. And so it's funny cause every once in a while, you know, a crazy, crazy loyal Red Sox fan.
Ooh.
And so, I tend to lean in that direction as well. You know, Red Sox, Patriots, I'm still there which in Central Ohio is kind of dangerous sometimes because everybody connects Tom Brady on the Patriots still. And then they connect Tom Brady went to Michigan. So Michigan and Ohio State are, you know, rivals, and it just, it's bad. But anyhow, it's one of those things where you go to, literally you go to church and you talk more about college football than you do the Bible. And sometimes that's a little irritating to me. I'm just being honest. It's like, hey, how's it going? How was the game? Oh, great. Thank you. But anyhow, so yeah, but that's how Mike is too. When he's on, when we do stuff together. And I think he actually just called me one day. He was like, he reached out to us through one of our social media groups and said, hey, I want to help. Here's my number. Can I call you? Can I talk to you? And I remember the first conversation I had with him. It went for like an hour and a half. But when we realized how much we had in common, it was really cool that, you know, that we get along so well and have that connection for sure.
Yeah. So I'm trying to remember, like, we've talked about doing, Jordan and I have talked about doing a podcast for a long time. I'm trying to remember if you have, Jordan, any insight into like why that started. I guess we just kind of had like so many awesome conversations with each other. And then we have other friends that they would participate in the conversations. And we would just kind of talk about stuff and try to work stuff out. And eventually, after, you know, we had both graduated, Jordan moved back into the area and was like, oh, we should actually like try to get this off the ground now.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, so it was crazy because we've been like good friends for so long, but we've never actually like lived together for longer than 2 weeks or lived near each other for longer than 2 weeks. So he was like randomly out of the blue. Well, for me, it was out of the blue. He was like, hey, I'm moving back into the area. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Cool. You mean I'm going to get to see you like multiple times a week? It was a good time. I don't remember where the idea from the podcast came from, though. It was just like something we've always talked about.
Yeah, well, I think it started as like a joke. Like, because Joe and I would argue and like have these really deep conversations sometimes at like really inappropriate times, you know, like we'll be at, you know, whatever it is, a church potluck or something.
And yeah,
we'll
answer your question, we are those annoying people.
Oh, come on. Church potlucks are made for conversations like that.
Or like going out, oh my gosh, dude, going out for mini golf. I don't know if you remember that, Jordan, but like that was always a trip.
And I think one of our friends was jokingly like, oh, you guys should start a podcast, like razzing us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then because Joe and I are both jerks, we were like, oh, that's a really good idea. We should do that.
Just to spite those people that said we couldn't.
Yeah. So I think that's how it got started. And then, like Joe said, I moved back up in the area, which is way too long of a story to explain here. But I ended up moving back to the area and we were talking and I was like, you know what, man, we should just do it. You don't start anything till you start, you know? So
that's half the battle.
Yeah. We had a couple of conversations on what we would do and kind of what we wanted our vision for the podcast to be. And then we were like, yeah, let's just record it and I will edit it and we will start posting it and it will probably be awful, but we will put it out there.
I think that's what you said. We said something like that. It's like everybody's awful when they first start doing it. I don't remember if that was you or one of our friends was like, oh, everybody sucks at this the first time that they start. So if you just start it now, like by the time you get like 50 episodes into it, you'll be up decent.
Yeah.
Not terrible to listen to.
Well, I mean, you do kind of develop your stride for it after a while and you get kind of used to it. I had the hardest time when I first started doing it for church safety and security. I mean, we did it live. We just did it straight to Facebook Live. We didn't do another platform or anything to do a podcast. And I had the hardest time with the camera because Facebook Live, you know, puts the camera out there and it's like, oh no, people are watching me. So terrifying. It was terrifying.
I can't imagine. It's so crazy because when we record, we just like, you know, in the room together, like having a conversation, which makes it super surreal when people like quote your podcast to you. It's like, oh, I was just having a conversation. I can't even imagine doing it live and just being like, oh, people can see me right now.
It's not terrible. Like, it's not too bad. I mean, we've gotten used to it. I think oftentimes, like what we've tried to do is we go out and we'll interview or we'll ask like leadership gurus or, you know, church ministry folks to come on, or maybe, you know, different people that specialize in church safety. We've had those folks come on and that sort of thing. And really the big thing is we've had more apprehension from people saying, I don't want to come on because I think you're going to like bait and switch me. Like you're going to throw questions. And I just had a really horrible interview with one gal was in crisis management, you know, probably one of the industry leaders in crisis management in North America. And I invited her to come on the broadcast to talk about, you know, how churches can be involved with crisis management and that sort of thing. And it was funny because she actually apologized before the recording, because she said that she had just gotten off of a recording with, I want to say it was like the New York Times or Fox News or somebody. And she's like, you know, the questions that I was getting asked were not the questions that I was supposed to be asked. So I felt like they were really just trying to, you know, I don't know, be obnoxious and, you know, go off the rails with this interview. And so I was like, that was surreal to me because it clicked in my head. You were just talking to the mainstream media, and now you're talking to somebody that's got a home office that's recording for churches, you know, around the world. But even sometimes that doesn't, you know, that doesn't click to me. But anyhow, I reassured her. I said, you know what, that's not how we do things. And so most of the time I've had that conversation with people that, you know, we don't try and be aggressive. It's just a simple conversation. And if you can do that, if you can have a simple conversation, then oftentimes it'll go real well. So that's what we've focused on, is just having a good conversation with people and kind of taking it from there. So
I think that's what people want to hear. Like, there's enough like really produced, like, you know, chopped up, edited interviews out there. People just want to hear like a genuine conversation between people about what they believe. And I think that right now, especially like in the world, it's so rare to actually hear what somebody thinks and not want to tear them down for it. So if you can like provide a space for like people to just like talk and have a conversation and not doctor it in any way or like try to trap people, I think that that's like so much more valuable than just having like this heavily edited thing that you spend way too much time on for like no results. I don't know. That's just my perspective though.
And that's, I mean, honestly, that's one of the reasons why I like what you guys do, because it comes across as just a casual conversation about the topics that oftentimes people are genuinely asking, and they're afraid to ask people at their church or whatnot, because they're going to get that stereotypical answer where it's like, you know what, that's probably not what I believe, but it's like, you know, I'm trying to think of a non-evasive example here for the folks at my church. I don't use, I'll throw myself on the chopping block here. I don't use a King James Version Bible.
Ooh.
Yeah. Everybody can gasp. You can, And it's not because I don't like it. It's not because I can't use it. There are just other translations that I feel are more accurate to the Greek and Hebrew. And King James wasn't really a great guy to begin with.
Oh, you noticed that.
I'm just going to throw that out there.
You did a 30-second Google search to find the dirty laundry.
No, it was more than 30 seconds. It was more like 45 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
So, but you know, there obviously, one of the churches that I used to go to was very heavily, and I mean, I'm still connected with folks there at that church, but, and still friends with them. And they will say part of the reason I like the King James Version is because, you know, I grew up with that and that's what I'm accustomed to, and that's fine. You know, that's, certainly, I think that would be better than potentially a paraphrase or something where some of the value is lost. But oftentimes when I'm asked about it, I will just respond, you know, there's so much value that's lost between Greek and Hebrew and English anyway, that there's really, like, if you're really trying to get a true sense of the value and what's being conveyed, you really need to go back to the Greek and Hebrew and try and figure out, you know, what's being said and in its context. I think they call that hermeneutics, but I'm not exactly sure. But so anyhow, but yeah, there have been folks that have come up to me and asked me and said, well, what Bible, like new believers, like what Bible translation should I use? And, you know, instantly I'm like, well, the church is saying, you know, the church uses King James because they preach from it, but maybe, you know, maybe 1600th level English isn't great for you to start out at. Yeah. Maybe, you know, maybe we can find something a little bit easier for you to read that will make more sense.
Yeah. A little bit easier to understand. It's fun. I'm super opinionated on Bible translations. And I think Joe is also super opinionated, but in the exact opposite way that I am, where I'm like, there are certain translations that I cannot stand, and I'm like, nobody should read this translation. And then there are others that I love, and Joe's just kind of like, all translations are good enough. Like,
we'll put the wacky stipulation on that. Most translations are good enough. There are translations where I'm like, probably not this, but like, it's still. But our pastor just says, like, the best Bible translation is the one that you read. And we have a hard enough time trying to get people to actually read the Bible.
I mean, that's a fair statement. But, you know, I used to actually, years ago, before we moved to, actually, right after I got out of college, I went and became a store manager of a Christian bookstore. And we had a very large Bible section, and there were certainly individuals that would come in and would say, hey, you know, my church uses this translation. Is this a good translation? I want to get a study Bible that's, you know, applicable with this translation. And oftentimes that kind of prompted me and pushed me to study them more, like to know what I was talking about from a standpoint of, I just don't want to be an idiot when, you know, someone comes in and says, this paraphrase is fantastic. And, you know, but I also don't want, I ride that fence of, I don't want to limit the Holy Spirit to, potentially use content necessarily from that to move and change someone's life. So,
amen.
But
amen.
You guys, I'm looking at both of you and you're both like, okay, should I jump down this rabbit hole or
dude, welcome to the podcast, man. Yeah. Welcome to the Sacred Cows podcast. We just spend an hour and a half trying to figure out what rabbit holes we should jump down and which ones we shouldn't.
Oh man. We have a running joke that Joe likes to interrupt me because there have been so many times where I'll be like halfway through talking about a topic and he'll just out of left field be like, yeah, but what do you think about this? And we just completely 180 pivot. That's awesome. Yeah, it's a good time. And we we really, like, we figured that if we can't have really genuine casual conversation about these things, then there's no point in doing the podcast, you know, because like Joe said earlier, there are so many good resources out there. There's so many like high production, really focused, intensive academics that you can listen to. So we're just going to model how we do things. And then if you like it, you can stick around.
Yeah. I mean, so it's just like not hard to find like content online that talks about, like, especially now, like in the modern era, there's like in the past 20 years, there's crazy content for like theology and church and scripture that is like next level. The problem that, you know, I always ran into was it's always only presented from like, always presented like the truth from one specific side.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's fine. Like if you want to look at somebody and say, this is what I believe, that that's fine. Like we're okay with that. But the problem is like a lot of the times you ignore huge portions of like the church and like people that don't believe those things. So really you got to find somebody who you can talk to about stuff and bounce ideas off of that disagrees with you. Because when you just talk to people that agree with you the whole time, you never learn anything new. You're just creating an echo chamber for yourself. You have to find somebody who can, you know, disagree with you in a loving way, in a way that's going to like, in a, sort of like an iron sharpens iron, where like your beliefs might be cemented, or maybe you're challenged in some way that like you need to be challenged, and that you wouldn't have been if you had just like found the opinion that you agree with. So, I mean, that's what we try to do on the podcast for the most part, is like, maybe, you know, we all have things that we hold like as unquestionable. And I don't want to knock that. Like there's truth out there. Truth exists. And so there is objective truth, but like ideas are meant to be challenged. And so like, if your idea is strong, it holds up to being challenged, and you shouldn't have to worry about that. And you shouldn't get offended just because somebody like has a slightly different belief or a completely different belief. Like, as long as like the main thing is the main thing, like you don't need to have like intense like disagreements with people where you like almost come to blows, because like at the end of the day, it's all about Christ and what he's done for us. And it's not about your secondary opinion that you've elevated to the main point. If everything's the main point, then nothing's the main point. And at some point you have to make a decision about the things that you believe. And you can't do that really well unless you are also talking to somebody who disagrees with you. So
that's pretty profound, Joe.
Thanks, man. I do that every once in a while. Well, which is also why our podcast is called Sacred Cows, by the way.
Okay. Well, that was the next question I was going to ask. So why you guys chose that name? But to your point, I do think you're absolutely right. I think that I've learned over the years, and I work Monday through Friday, I work for the federal government, for the Defense Department. And of course, if there was ever a melting pot of, you know, views and, you know, backgrounds and everything, it would be that, and that location, organization, et cetera. And what's interesting is we aren't allowed to talk about a lot of that because of the Hatch Act. And we're not allowed to talk about politics, because it doesn't matter to me whether I personally agree with like the current administration or not. It doesn't matter. I have a job I need to do, and I need to focus on doing that job so that, you know, lives are saved, lives aren't endangered because of that. So we all take that very seriously. And for the most part, you know, occasionally we slip up a little bit, and we'll make joking comments about, you know, the commander in chief or the secretary of defense or, you know, in passing, but it's not, we've learned that, you know, having conversations, there are times when we have to say, look, this isn't a conversation for the office. If you'd like to talk about this after work, I don't want to talk about it because I'm off the clock. So leave me alone. But what was interesting was I think it was a few years ago, I had the opportunity to actually talk with, an individual that didn't understand a lot about Muslims and what they believe. And I don't necessarily, I mean, obviously for you guys know this. I don't agree with what they believe, but with helping churches or places of worship, oftentimes it doesn't matter whether we agree or not. It matters. What matters is the fact that they have the right to be protected in the U.S. as much as possible. And so they can do things that can protect themselves just like a Catholic church or a Baptist church. So denomination means very little really to us as well, but I digress. So to the Muslim comment, what was interesting to me is I was actually able to explain some of the differences to this individual so they could understand. If I had sat there and said, well, you know, I don't agree with Muslims, I'm not going to study that, then I would have not had a response to that person questioning, because they straight up asked me, which I can respond to, how is one of the questions they asked was, how is Muslim beliefs different from Christianity? Mm-hmm. And so that's right there. I mean, that was a wide door open opportunity to share the gospel with someone. And if I didn't know how, you know, Muslims believe, then I wouldn't have been able to critique it and really come back and say, hey, this is what they believe versus this is what Christians generally believe, and have that conversation. And so I agree with you. I mean, I think that people have an obligation to understand both sides of it. And I think a different generation, and I can say this because you guys are both younger than I am, but the truth is, years ago, you know, there wasn't a deciding factor. It was like, oh, and maybe even our parents were more apt to say, well, I don't agree with them. We're not doing, you know, that's it. They're bad. They're doing something different, et cetera. And it's like, but what I've seen specifically in churches too, is a younger generation saying, well, it's not good enough to say why, you know, or just say, do it because. You have to explain to me why it's not, like, what is the value and what is the difference here? So that I can understand and comprehend and know, you know, where the balance of truth lies and what it looks like. So, but going back to the translation real quick, I'm going to beat that horse a little bit more. You know, what's funny is that Joe, growing up, I mean, Dad, and I've said this to him before too, he's always used a New American Standard translation. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting to me is that that was one of the translations that came out shortly after, or shortly before he got saved. And that was a translation that someone introduced him to because he couldn't understand the Catholic Bible at the time, which yeah. Grandma and Grandpa used because they were Catholics. And Catholics used King James Version, but he appreciated the New American Standard as a translation because he felt like he could understand it as a new believer better.
Right.
And what's interesting to me is now for the groups and churches that I'm involved with, everybody's like, New American Standard, what's that? Like, yeah. I've never heard of that translation before. And I'm like, okay, I grew up with that translation and using it, but I don't know. Yeah. So I do think a lot of it has to do with culturally, you know, at the time. I mean, if someone hands you a Bible and says, here's a Bible, read it, you're probably going to be more comfortable with that because they gave it to you versus going and trying to find something else. So
yeah. I think it's important to keep in context that God is alive and his word is alive and living. So even if there are translations that you disagree with, and like I said, I'm very opinionated. I have a ton of translations that I don't really like.
The Jordan cut.
God still uses those translations and still speaks to people through them. And they're still scripture. Mm-hmm. So I think God will find every way to communicate to people. And if he happens to communicate to you through a specific translation, then more power to you.
That's fair. I'm going to get all sorts of hate emails. You guys won't. I'll be getting like the
you
email.
You can direct them like, all our way. I'll leave my email with you.
That's fine. I get that kind of stuff from time to time. So
yeah,
we talked about it but a little bit before we started the podcast, but I get the angry texts from people because you kicked the thing that they're super into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bible translation is the least of my worries, man. Like I can talk all day about that stuff. Like,
well,
people don't know what they're getting into when they get angry at us. It's just like, oh, this is the tip of the iceberg. How long would you like to talk about this?
Just wait. I have an even more offensive opinion coming up. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you guys have you're on your eighth episode. So, or eighth episode released. So how many were you planning for season one?
Oh man, that's a great question. I don't even think that we really planned to have seasons. Like I said, we kind of just like jumped in head first and started recording and releasing. And now we have to figure out like, oh, should we come to like a stopping point? So I think we have 15 episodes fully recorded right now. In episode 9, as the time we're recording this, episode 9 will come out tomorrow. But when this releases, I don't know, all 15 might be out by then. And I don't know, we could break it up into seasons. And that might actually help us a little bit to stay on topic and actually have a sheet that we stick to.
Not get derailed by Joe and his, and his whole rabbit holes.
Yeah, but I mean, we're having a good time doing it. And so we might just do it into the future and see if we ever get bored and want to stop. We decided pretty early on that, you know, it's really hard to make it in entertainment these days. So we kind of came to the conclusion that it's very possible that nobody listens to our podcast. And you know what? That's okay, because we're making it because we want to make it, because it's an outlet for us. It helps us, and hopefully even I tell myself this all the time, just in ministry in general, if it helps a single person, if one person listens to it and says, yeah, I got a lot out of that, it was really helpful, then it was all this work was worth it. So that's the mindset we try and keep.
And awesome. I think we have been like relatively, you know, I joke about like the angry comments a lot, but from the conversations that I've had, like in our immediate circle, there's been some fruit that's happened just because of the different perspectives that we have on stuff. And it's like, oh, I never thought about it that way. Or like, oh, I was thinking about this my whole life. And then we talked about it and, you know, we were able to see it from a little bit of a different perspective, if nothing else, because we're not necessarily trying to get people to like change their minds on everything. If nothing else, then you know that there's a different perspective out there, and there are people that can like I don't have to look at Jordan and hate Jordan because he believes something different than me. Like I love Jordan, and so I want to have those conversations with him where we like, you know, speak into each other's lives. So in that regard, like we just it's until we get bored with it, which is like not likely to happen, because the whole podcast started because we just never got bored with having those conversations with each other. So,
well, I can honestly tell you that one of the episodes that you did on dating, I think it was one of the earlier ones, dating and courtship.
Oh, that's our least popular episode.
Is it really? Why do you think that is?
The least viewed one. Cause I don't know. I think our demographic Jordan can respond to this. I think that our demographic doesn't really care about like that conversation very much. I don't know what you think, Jordan.
I think it is maybe not that they don't care about the conversation. I think it's maybe they don't care about us, like two young guys talking about that topic. But yeah, I got a lot of flack for that episode from everybody.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Great. I thought you guys did a really good job of breaking it down, honestly. And I mean, I grew up in a Christian culture where courtship was, if you wanted to be biblical, you did courtship.
Right.
And it really wasn't until later when I met my wife at Bible college and she was like, what's courtship? You keep talking about courtship, but when you keep talking about courting, but how is that really different from dating? And I'm like, Oh, it is. This is how it's different. And now I'm quite a bit older and I'm not going to say wiser, but I'm just like, you know, I kind of chuckled because listening to you guys, the thought that popped into my head was, you know what? There isn't a difference. Why are we doing this? Why are we calling it this? Stop. And it's funny, it gets me in trouble because oftentimes when you're doing that, I forget that when I listen to the podcast of you guys going back and forth, I forget that you're not there, as stupid as that sounds.
No, we get that a lot.
So I'm like, Joe, stop. What are you doing? What, like, don't say that. But it's good because it's made me think too. Like some of the thoughts, like you guys, you've talked about, and I just made some notes here, but you've talked about tattoos, alcohol, music, worship, dating, context of scripture. Almost every hot topic that most people are like, I'm not going to talk about that because I want to still have friends after we're done with this conversation. But what's interesting about it is that, and again, for those of you that are listening to this at a later time, they do a really good job of taking that topic and going through it biblically and looking at it and having that conversation. I think some of it, some of my perspective on those topics, when I listen to how you guys have gone through and explained it, it's helped me realize that it's just my personal preference. Like not like I've connected it back to maybe some biblical passage that someone shared with me years ago. And it's kind of pushed me to say, you know what, that's really not what was that passage intended for? That's not really what it's supposed to be intended for. I need to reevaluate that and take a look at that again, because oftentimes, you know, with culture or how we're raised or really a lot of different factors, you know, we tend to use scripture and connect scripture back to justifying our principles and what we're trying to, the point that we're trying to make, rather than go to, you know, scripture and see the point that scripture is trying to make.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but
yeah. And everybody has those, right? Like everybody has some stuff that they probably learned when they were a kid and they just held on to, whether you're conscious of it or not. So I think that was one of our goals with this podcast, is that Joe and I really challenge each other so we can kind of maybe point out some of those blind spots in our life. But we also agree on a lot of the places where we think maybe the church should rethink or just maybe even think about harder some of these issues. And so if we can even bring it up, because we've had this conversation a lot, Joe and I have, where there are certain things that we believed when we met each other, and then we challenged each other on those things so much that we realized, like, oh, I have to go back and like actually figure out whether or not I truly believe this thing, which is really building. Even if you like agree with your past self and you end up not changing your mind at all. It's really building to your character and to your faith to actually struggle with and work out those things and really come to an understanding of what you really believe. So I hope that if nothing else, our podcast is a little bit challenging for people in a loving way that they can kind of face some of the things that maybe they've held on to or they heard when they were like 10 in Sunday school one time, you know, and they've just always believed their entire life and really help work out their salvation.
For sure.
Yeah. I think that the most valuable thing is realizing that you can change your mind on things. And I feel like we just get so dug into like, this has to be the thing. And we want to white knuckle that thing and never let it go. And then like buy its shoes and put it through college and like keep it with us as long as we possibly can, just because we've held on to it for so long. And I think that like anytime you get option, like we're Protestants, right? So reform is like the motto. Like we can reevaluate our ideas and decide whether or not they're worth keeping around. And maybe they need to be changed or reformed or, you know, given some nuances, our catchphrase, right? So like you can change your mind. Like that's okay. Like you don't have to, but it's okay to do that. And you shouldn't have to, you know, feel bad that like, oh, I said this thing for so long and now I've been provided with new information and I can change my mind. Like you shouldn't feel bad about doing that. That's what I think.
For sure. I'll use the example real quick of what you guys talked about, tattoos, and you've obviously, you're okay with that because you both have gotten them. And I'm okay with that because honestly, I've never felt a need to go do that, but I've never been like against doing it. If that's your, you know, if you're good with that, if that's your thing. And, it's funny because my kids have gotten to the point now where they're old enough to, you know, they're adults, they can make their own decision. I don't need to, like, they're living their lives, you know, biblically. My wife and I have raised them, you know, in a biblical, given them a biblical foundation. They know how to research, they know how to make decisions for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think a few days ago, one of them that shall remain nameless came in and said, oh, I'm going to go get a tattoo, you know, when I turn 23. And I'm like, okay, whatever. What you gonna get? Like, I'm trying to connect, I'm trying to be interested. And, you know, and my wife is like, what? And I'm like, she's like, what are you like? Why aren't you why aren't you reacting more? And I said, they're adults. Like, what am I going to do? Say no. Like you, it's your body. You make that choice to do that. And it was so funny because one of my children, who again shall remain nameless, came into the room.
So one in three guests.
Yeah.
Or one in four.
And had like, oh, well, you're just doing it because I want to do it. And I'm like, you are still a minor. You are not getting one. And I'm like, there is absolutely no reason for you to get one. And she's like, but Uncle Joe's got one.
Oh no.
Like, oh, okay, we're done.
So what you're saying is this is all Joe's fault.
I don't know. His name comes up in the conversations more than I think he realizes. So
dang. I should watch what I do a little bit more then.
Probably.
It's just good advice for all of us though.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen.
You should direct them to the Sacred Cows podcast to get a well-rounded view of
our perspective. You know what? I said it before, but yeah, they're the ones that turned me on to it. So they're already listening to you guys. But anyhow, so we should wrap up because we're kind of at that point. But do you have a website or anything that you reference usually for folks to reach out to you if they're interested?
Well, we are on social media. So okay. We have an Instagram, a TikTok, a Twitter that I don't think we've set up yet fully.
That we don't use.
Yeah.
X. It's called X now.
I was going to say, X it's now. Not Twitter. Sorry. It's X.
Sorry, Elon. When you watch this, I apologize. So we're on social media and we're on YouTube and Spotify. So we've already gotten a couple of people who have reached out. We always leave the Spotify question feature on. So you can always reach us through that. Or if you send us a DM through any of our social medias, we will see that. And honestly, we would love it if people reached out, even if it's only to tell us how wrong we are about things and how much they hated our episode. So we don't want to live in an echo chamber. So we love when people reach out to us and give us their opinion on stuff we've said.
Yeah. If you have ideas for topics too, like stuff that you want to hear talked about, you can definitely put that in there too.
We do the same thing. You know, we leave it open for folks to reach out to us and tell us what they want us to talk about. And that doesn't necessarily mean we're always going to agree with them, because we don't, but that's why we do what we do. So, and we have fun doing it. And like I said before, you know, God's blessed our ministry, and it's awesome. It is really neat. And I know how you guys feel like when people come up and talk to you about stuff, but it's, to me, it's really neat when you're at a church or something, you know, conference or whatever, and somebody comes up and they say something like, you know, what you said really made me think, and I really appreciate that. And, you know, it really made me have a different biblical perspective. And that's why we do what we do with our stuff, is because we want people to look at more of, at least from a church safety perspective, more of the biblical aspects of, you know, being involved, helping others, discipling, you know, leading, and not just running around playing with guns. Because oftentimes, and I'll probably get hate mail for saying that too. Yes, I do still carry a firearm at church, but, but yeah, oftentimes, and that's really one of the ways that we've been different, is because oftentimes, Mike likes to say unapologetically biblical in a, unapologetically tactical world. That's like his catchphrase. But there's a lot of truth to it, because people tend to look at, you know, a hammer as the best tool to fix every problem.
Right.
And, you know, oftentimes we're like, nope, you need to put that down and you need to think about what you're doing and realize that your actions have eternal consequences, not just present consequences. So, but anyhow, I will let you go. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me and chatting about this. And for those of you listening, definitely check them out. I'll pull up the picture here so you can find it again. But it is a Sacred Cows podcast, and they talk about topics that most people don't like to talk about, i.e. the sacred cows, or have them as sacred cows conversation. So again, thanks for joining me tonight, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. We appreciate
Thank you
it
so much.
Cool. All right. So, I will go ahead and wrap things up real quick. But again, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for watching. And in the future, if we can be of any assistance to you in your ministry, please feel free to reach out to us through our website, which is churchsafetyguys.com. And also, just a reminder, you're welcome to check out our new book, Thriving Together, 5 Secrets to Ministry Team Success, 5 Things Every Leader Should Know to Guide a Successful Team. And that's not just for safety teams. That just released today. So you're welcome to pick up a copy. Limited pricing, limited availability on Amazon. And if you'd like bulk copies, you're welcome to reach out to us through our website and we can arrange that. So until next time, thanks for hanging out with us. God bless. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for joining the Church Safety Guys broadcast, brought to you by Vigilant Impact. We hope that you found it informative, and we appreciate your feedback and interaction. Be sure to share our broadcast with your teams, join the discussion online, and connect with us on social media or at our website at churchsafetyguys.com. For other great ministry resources, download the Church Security app. Remember, keep a servant's heart, a mindset of ministry, and semper disciplina. Always be training. Have a blessed week.